ACLU LGBT and HIV Project. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is now 4:59. Coming up next is going to be your evening news, but first, this from KBOO. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Levin & Levine, LLP, attorneys specializing in personal injury law. Levin & Levine offices are located in Southeast Portland and Old Town Sherwood. More information available by phone at 503-946-8708 and online at levinandlevine.com.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll host the third annual Dia de los Muertos celebration on Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. We'll be showing short films recognizing the traditional practices and beliefs of El Dia de los Muertos as practiced in Mexico, Ecuador, Nicaragua, and Bolivia. We'll also have dancing, food, and music to honor our beloved dead. Again, that's the third annual Dia de los Muertos celebration on Thursday, October 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Latin American Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater. The next film in the series, The Good Girls, Las Niñas Bien, is showing Wednesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Surrounded by extravagant luxury, Sofia lives in opulence in 1980s Mexico City. However, when Mexico's 1982 economic crisis hits her husband's business hard, the elegant lifestyle Sofia is accustomed to falls to pieces, and her arrogance turns into desperation. Again, that's The Good Girls, Las Niñas Bien, showing Wednesday, October 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland's DoubleTree Hotel is being sued for $10 million for kicking out African-American guest Jermaine Massey.
Retailer giant Dick's Sporting Goods destroys $5 million worth of guns.
And in international news, the company Blizzard Entertainment is receiving public criticism for banning an esports competitor for voicing support for the Hong Kong protests.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Last year, a black hotel guest was kicked out of a Portland Hilton DoubleTree hotel. The hotel guest, Jermaine Massey, is now suing the establishment for $10 million. During the incident, the hotel guest, Jermaine Massey, was on his cell phone speaking with his mother when a DoubleTree security guard approached Massey asking if he was a hotel guest. The security took further action by demanding Jermaine show proof that he was a hotel guest and show his room key. In Massey's lawsuit, he says the security guard told Massey he was loitering and threatening the safety of hotel guests. The incident further escalated when the hotel manager called Portland police, who then escorted Massey out of the hotel. Following the incident, DoubleTree fired both the hotel manager and security guard, along with the following statement, quote, "Our hotel is a place of hospitality, and their actions were inconsistent with our standards and values." However, this is not the first time the hotel company has been accused of racism. Massey's legal team received several statements from those who are also racially profiled.
Retailer giant Dick's Sporting Goods has received public attention for removing $5 million worth of guns from public circulation. Last year, Dick's CEO Edward Stack determined that the company would stop selling guns to persons under 21 years of age, as well as the assault-style AR-15, which had been associated with numerous mass shootings. In a recent interview with CBS, Stack said that he would rather destroy the guns than ship them back to the manufacturers to prevent such dangerous weapons from being sold elsewhere. He also says that the company lost $250 million by doing so, saying, quote, "You know what? If we really think these things should be off the street, we need to destroy them."
Blizzard Entertainment, the company behind popular games such as World of Warcraft and Diablo II, is currently assessing the situation behind their move to ban an esports gamer known as Blitzchung from Blizzard's Hearthstone competitions and rescind his earnings from the Asia-Pacific Grandmaster Tournament after global outrage by fans. The decision by Blizzard occurred after Blitzchung voiced support for the ongoing protests in Hong Kong during a live-streamed post-match interview where the e-gamer advocated to, quote, "liberate Hong Kong." Engadget reports that, quote, "many fans and critics attribute Blizzard's response to its relationship with Chinese organizations, which are ostensibly opposed to the anti-China protests in Hong Kong, particularly Tencent Games, regularly one of the top 10 companies in the world by revenue, owns 5% of Activision Blizzard." An official statement on the Hearthstone Games webpage on October 8th states, quote, "While we stand by one's right to express individual thoughts and opinions, players and other participants that elect to participate in our esport competitions must abide by the official competition rules. Upon further review, we have found the action has violated the 2019 Hearthstone Grandmaster's official competition rules and is individual behavior which does not represent Blizzard or Hearthstone esports." Blitzchung has called the move by Blizzard a violation of his right to free speech.
The state of Oregon, for whom lottery funds are the second largest source of revenue after personal income taxes, is opening up a new revenue stream, online sports betting. Beginning next week, Oregon gamblers will be able to place sports bets online or through the phone app Scoreboard. People who treat gambling addiction are worried about the portability and ease of gambling on your phone and that the program allows users to deposit up to $250,000 into their accounts. Also, there are no limits on how many bets a person can make. Lottery spokesman Matt Shelby said to a House committee last month, quote, "We believe sports betting will attract a different type of player that isn't playing our games, so it will increase revenues with asking current players to play or wager more," end quote. The Scoreboard app is made by SB Tech, a provider to sports books across the world based on the Isle of Man.
Portland's oldest bookstore, Cameron's Books and Magazines, a Portland institution since 1938, is closing its doors by the end of November. The local bookstore that specializes in rare books has been at its current location for more than 60 years, and its third owner, Jeff Fraes, says his lease was not renewed by a new building owner. Fraes said, quote, "Then 2 weeks ago, I got a registered letter from an attorney. It was out of the blue. I have until December 1st to vacate." As the closing approaches, Fraes will sell the inventory of his thousands and thousands of books at discount prices. After that, he says he will retire. There's potentially hope that the store will breathe life again. Crystal Zingsheim, who has worked with Fraes for the past 20 years, is raising money to buy the books and a new location for the store. She said, quote, "I want to keep Cameron's alive. I want to keep the same name. It's not about me or Jeff. We are simply caretakers of a legacy."
Since Governor Kate Brown's ban on flavored vaping products, Oregon companies are now preparing to end sales as soon as this Friday. Governor Brown implemented this six-month plan as serious lung illnesses related to vaping have risen to such a degree that at least 1,000 have been affected in the U.S. and two Oregonians have died. The two agencies overseeing that all companies adhere to this ban are the Oregon Health Authority and Oregon Liquor Control Commission. OPB reports that, quote, "the OLCC regulates vaping products that contain THC, while the Oregon Health Authority is responsible for how the flavored vape ban affects products containing nicotine." The ban, that was largely instituted to protect the health of teenagers and adults, will have a serious impact on vape shops, which make 80 to 90% of their sales from flavored products.
The move towards the very first public bank in California, and the second in the nation, was celebrated Monday on the steps of Los Angeles City Hall. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed AB 857 into effect last week, allowing city or state sponsorship for the formation of a public bank. The LA Public Bank would be entirely publicly owned and not subject to public-private partnership, which often tends to favor the private sector of the partnership, since private banks are essentially corporations that are obligated to increase their profits at any cost. California Assemblyman Miguel Santiago said, quote, "We didn't have a lobbyist. It was a people-powered movement to take on the banking industry. People power prevailed. The old system simply isn't working. 1% of the population owns most of the wealth. There are people living in the streets. This will change that," end quote.
This morning, 500,000 people in Northern California had their electricity turned off on purpose by PG&E. Not because they didn't pay their bills, but as a safety and liability measure. Instead, power was turned off because of the fire risk it poses. The last 2 years have seen the two largest and most destructive fires in California's history. Both were caused by PG&E's aging utility components and windy, dry conditions. Store shelves throughout the region were cleared of batteries, flashlights, generators, and other needed items, according to local reports. Morning rush hours were especially chaotic because of powerless traffic signals. Carliza Rogacheski, a meteorologist in the National Weather Service's Sacramento office, said today's winds were expected to be the strongest since the North Bay fires 2 years ago.
Thinking about climate change can be frightening, and trying to find the right approach discussing this issue with others can be daunting. For more on this and how to thoughtfully discuss the subject, it's Anthony Lizowitz with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When Jeremy Ornstein first learned about climate change as a child, he was terrified that the world was coming to an end.
I would cover my ears whenever anyone mentioned the words global warming.
As he got older, his fear gave way to frustration with politicians, who he says were not doing enough to avert the climate crisis. After graduating from high school last year, Ornstein took a year off before starting college. He worked full-time with the Sunrise Movement. It's an organization of young activists helping to elect politicians that support ambitious climate action. Ornstein knocked on doors to help elect a new member of the Pennsylvania State Legislature, who opposed the construction of a new fossil fuel pipeline in the state. She ran on the issue and won.
It just goes to show that even when it's an uphill battle, if you talk to people and treat people like they're human beings and have real conversations, then you can win.
Ornstein wants to help other Americans create a future that is good for the planet and its people.
We talk to people about how the future could include them and how their dreams could be included in the future and how we could work together to achieve those. And that feels like not just how we're going to win elections, but how we're going to actually stop this climate crisis and make a better world.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Culture in Motion with Mike Crenshaw. At 6, it's Right to Survive. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be clear with a low of 38. Tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of 63 and wind gusts up to 21 miles per hour. Today in history, in 1949, Harvard Law School, founded in 1817, admitted its first women students. The quote of the day is from former Harvard Law School student and current Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. "Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you."
After 200 years since its founding, Montgomery, Alabama made history by electing its first African-American mayor, probate judge Stephen Reed. This town and its community is no stranger to making history. Montgomery, Alabama is where Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. planned the Montgomery bus boycott after Rosa Parks' famous statement and protests against bus segregation. Mayor-elect Reed went up against David Woods, a white television station owner. Reed was ultimately able to capture 67% of the vote in a city with a majority of black residents, who make up 60% of the population. As the New York Times reports, this has been an emotional and victorious historical moment for the black community, with comparisons being made to when then-President Obama became the first African-American president. One Montgomery resident, Yolanda Sales Robinson, said, quote, "This is our season. We've been waiting for this a long time."
City commissioners in Miami, Florida, will vote tomorrow on several pieces of technology that will be used in public, raising serious data privacy concerns. One of the proposals up for vote is if they will grant a 30-year contract to Illumination Technologies, Inc. for, quote, "light poles equipped with cameras and license plate readers," end quote. According to tweets by reporter Danny Rivera, quote, "the catch, nothing would stop the contracting company from keeping all your data and selling it to others," end quote. The city would receive the technology supposedly for free and would, of course, share data collected from the devices with government and law enforcement officials. The city of Miami has had previous concern about data privacy before. In 2018, WLRN in South Florida reported, quote, "amid a push to move the city's parking infrastructure to pay by phone, Miami has stumbled into questions about the ethics of forcing people onto digital spaces that for some reason or another might not always be accessible." Separately, there are questions about what exactly is being done with the data drivers are handing over to utilize the most simple of municipal services, parking on the street, end quote. The Miami City Commissioners will also vote tomorrow on a request by City of Miami Police Department for over $70,000 to purchase cell phone spying software from a Nebraska-based company, PenLink, as well as another $15,000 annually to maintain it. Nearby Miami-Dade Police Department, or MDPD, has had a long-standing contract with the company for that same technology, which it renewed in February. The Miami News Times reported that, quote, "for years, MDPD has been sharing that cell phone reading tech, which can ostensibly intercept text messages, emails, phone calls, and GPS location data from pretty much anyone's phone with other departments around the country," end quote.
The Native community in Riverton, Wyoming, are demanding answers about why police shot and killed an Arapaho man, Anderson Antelope. Antelope had been struggling with addiction and other health issues. Some residents say his death and similar incidents are a pattern of police taking deadly force when responding to people who struggle with serious mental health issues. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Indigenous news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. It's been 2 weeks since the police killing of a northern Arapaho man in Riverton. As Wyoming Public Radio Savannah Marr reports, the Native community wants answers.
Dozens marched down a busy street in Riverton on Saturday, demanding answers about the death of Anderson Antelope. Officials have released few details, except to allege that Antelope attacked an officer with a knife. But eyewitnesses say no one was in danger when officers first approached Antelope outside of a Walmart. Things escalated when an officer tried to physically move him. This story sounds all too familiar to the family of another Native man killed by police in 2017, Zachary Bareheels.
How does one end up dead because they're considered a public nuisance by a business?
That's Bareheels' sister, Adrienne Chalopah. She says her brother, a citizen of the Rosebud Sioux tribe, was having a mental health crisis when Omaha police detained him outside of a convenience store.
When you have a relative who suffers from a mental illness, the things that they do and how they carry on doesn't seem strange at all. And it's hard to understand how policemen and women can't show that same compassion and humanity.
Antelope's family say he suffered from chronic alcoholism and was physically disabled and prone to bouts of confusion as a result. Dean Wallowing Bull, Antelope's nephew, says that people like his uncle are not safe in Riverton, which borders the Wind River Reservation. And while he waits for answers, he's urging police to rethink the way they interact with people who are homeless, mentally ill, or both.
This needs to be addressed. You know, our street people being beaten up here in town, they're not safe. You know, and if anybody's on the streets and things happen to them, you know, who do they report that to? Because the city of Riverton police are not going to listen to them.
For National Native News, I'm Savannah Marr.
A demonstration was held in Rapid City, South Dakota this week, in part focusing on stopping the Keystone XL pipeline, as environmental and federal lawyers prepare for a hearing in Montana Wednesday. A judge will consider placing an injunction on construction of the pipeline project. Victoria Wick spoke with one of the Rapid City rally organizers about the importance of the Montana hearing.
Nick Tilson heads up NDN Collective, headquartered in Rapid City. He says rallies bring attention to the cause and work hand in hand with legal battles fought in courtrooms.
And people have to realize that without these injunctions being in place, and even with them being in place, mobilization continues to happen.
Tilson refers to pre-construction activities on the Keystone XL pipeline. In September, TC Energy told the Montana court it intended to transport pipe, cut down trees, and install underground utilities for worker camps, all prior to the hearing. TC later filed an amendment saying it would wait until after the hearing. At the end of 2018, Montana federal judge Brian Morris issued an injunction on pipeline construction, in part because an environmental study was incomplete, outdated, or inaccurate. That injunction became moot in early 2019 when the Trump administration issued a new permit. Nick Tilson says the law requires certain steps before permits can be issued.
We need the law to do what the law's intended purpose was that when permits were illegally obtained, there needs to be an injunction in place, so that they go through the proper process, and that in that proper process, they have to do the environmental assessments. They have to hear the voices of the people.
TC Energy intends to start pipeline construction in spring 2020. I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Today in eastern Germany, two people were killed by a gunman outside a synagogue. The suspect live-streamed his attack on an online video streaming platform called Twitch. In the 35-minute video, the gunman spewed anti-Semitic hatred, claiming the Holocaust never happened and that feminism is one of the world's problems. The gunman chose to commit the attack on the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur. The suspect, who has been arrested by police, attempted to enter a nearby synagogue filled with up to 80 people observing the holy day. When he failed, he shot a woman in front of the synagogue and another victim inside a kebab store. Germany's main Jewish leader, Josef Schuster, said the attack, quote, strikes the Jewish community, Jewish people, not just in Germany, but particularly in Germany, to the core. It was, I think, only lucky circumstances that prevented a bigger massacre, end quote.
The people of Ecuador have continued taking to the streets to demand the resignation of President Lenin Moreno after he ended a very popular fuel subsidy program in accordance with measures associated with an International Monetary Fund loan. Multiple news outlets have reported on the protesters blocking streets and traffic, throwing projectiles at police, and on Wednesday, storming the Ecuadorian parliament before being forced out by tear gas by anti-riot police. The chaos that has crippled the Ecuadorian government has also recently prompted Moreno to move the seat of his government 170 miles south to the city of Guayaquil last week. The Wall Street Journal reports that schools, businesses, factories, and stores have been shuttered amid widespread looting and unrest. The government has also issued a curfew between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. in an attempt to quell the protests against President Moreno's actions.
According to a press release, the Bureau of Land Management will adjust the fee it charges to process oil and gas drilling permits on public and Indian lands for inflation, effective October 1st, as part of the National Defense Authorization Act passed in 2015. That adjustment will increase the processing fee from $180 to $10,230. The non-refundable processing fee is collected when an oil and gas operator submits a drilling permit called an Application for Permit to Drill, or APD. and is required whether or not a particular permit is subsequently approved. For the 2019 fiscal year, the BLM collected nearly $51 million in application permit drilling fees.
The Trump campaign, which has raised $125 million in the last 2 months alone, is indignant about being asked to help cover the cost of extra security for a rally planned in Minneapolis tomorrow. They've threatened to sue the city and have accused Mayor Jacob Frey as, quote, attempting to extort President Trump's re-election campaign by conjuring up a phony and outlandish bill for security, end quote. According to a report for the Center for Public Integrity, the Trump campaign has stuck at least 10 cities with security bills, totaling almost $1 million. El Paso alone is owed $570,000. In many of these cases, there are no signed contracts between the municipal governments and the Trump campaign. The cities dispatch police officers to secure Trump's events because they believe public safety required it, and the U.S. Secret Service asked for it. While there are isolated examples of other candidates and cities disagreeing about who should foot the bill, no campaign has left as many bad debts as Trump's has.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael wanted to write a poem without Trump in it.
Trump, 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 impeach, impeach, impeach. Who's gonna make him leave? 4 more years, Donnie said, and maybe 4 after that. We'll see. He changes foreign policy so the Turks can kill the Kurds in Syria who've been our allies in fighting ISIS. Is he opening a new hotel in Turkey or just following Putin's orders? He shows California who's boss by opening vast swaths of its coastline to offshore when we already have too much gas and oil. If you want to immigrate here, you have to speak English and be able to afford health insurance and rooms in a Trump hotel. In their worst nightmares, Jefferson and Madison had no idea of the internet, satellite TV, or someone like Trump. It's a new kind of coup, taking over government from the inside, like a corporate takeover, siphoning off the resources, cutting the structures and safeguards, shutting out the citizens, shareholders. It can't happen here. It already has. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
A new controversial children's book came out this week, If You Give the Pig a White House, a parody. Written by Faye Canosi and illustrated by Amy Singh, the book is about an adult parody of the 1998 children's cautionary tale, If You Give a Pig a Pancake. As Amazon says of the book, quote, watch in dismay as the presidential pig gets into trouble, binges on too much Fox News and fast food, and cavalierly threatens national security, end quote. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other stores carrying the books have received many complaints and customers saying that they'll never shop there again.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. I'll protect callers with your breaking news stories and news tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Claire Rosciotto, Dan Raphael, and Leslie McClam. The producer is also Leslie McClam, and our engineer is Chris Gates. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Stay tuned right after this for Right to Survive with host Ibrahim Mubarak and then Hard Knock Radio at 7. Thank you for tuning in.
останусь под дождем. Я. Видишь за горизонтом зарево. Там горят клетки с пестрыми птицами. Клетки плавятся, но остаются запертыми. И об путь бьются людскими лицами. От густого квалта перепонки лопаются. В набат бьет дезориентация всполохами. Знай, до гробовой доски будет помниться. Возвращаться с полуночными шорохами. А мы одним миром скованы. Как одни все стальной цепью вязаны. Вращающий и тугой ворот. Истории героев грошовых бульварных рассказов. Мы в перманентном поиске, чем обезболиться. Но от наркоза только рези пронзительнее. Перепробовано все, но не становится легче. Этот край проклят спасителями. Но край до краев наполнен вершителями. Судьбы тесным клубком серпентария. Переплетены в узоры столь удивительные. Лабиринты людских бестиариев. Где мы, каждый сам себя потихонечку. Убиваем и не ждем эвтаназию. Спросил, когда этот дахау закончится. Но в ответ тишина камер газовых. И стеклянный глаз циклопа камеры. Не мигая взгляд в затылок винчивает. Ноги не хотят идти, будто каменные. Несмотря на это, был назван зачинщиком. Во дворе среди тел и зловония. Ухмыляюсь конвою сутулиному. Поднимал глаза к небу бездонному. Дождь хлестал тело острыми струями.
This is Cable Community Radio, 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM, and this is Mike Crenshaw. You are listening to Culture in Motion, and Althea has been so kind to reach out to me while I'm on the road in Moscow, Russia, and have a conversation literally about culture in motion. What's up, Althea?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
It's late there in Moscow, I know.
Yeah, I'm in Moscow. It's about 3 in the morning. And my jet lag, I was sleeping deeply, and then I woke up, and now we're making this radio happen.
Yeah, jet lag will do that to you. So you're in Moscow. Tell me about the trip that you're on right now.
I was invited to participate in a hip-hop cultural exchange trip here in Moscow. I'll be here for a week. I'll come home on the 14th, and this trip is actually